good to be at the house of the Lord and good to see each one. And I certainly enjoy these fellowship meetings that we have on the fourth Sunday night. And appreciate the good song service, this humble prayer that's been prayed, and time to share this time with Brother Rodney as we just met him for the first time in person also last Thursday night. We've been talking on the telephone, and he'd been filling some appointments over in Alabama with some of our brethren, and the word got out that he was our neighbors, and so I had to find him, and we found him, and he's been gracious to come to be among us, and we're just happy to have him in our area and just trust that we can continue to have a close, loving fellowship and relationship together in the Lord. Amen. To those that hear me all the time, and especially on Tuesday nights and Sunday mornings, you're going to say that this is a variation of both Tuesday night and Sunday morning. And I've seen through the Bible the Lord repeated sermons. Amen. And if it was good enough for him to repeat one, I can repeat one also. So it's not going to be exactly like this morning, and it's not going to be exactly like last Tuesday, but I hope the Lord will give me grace to weave them together. And that's what we want to be. You know, I think of a verse also where it says, and I believe it's in the Philippian letter, being knitted together in love. And that being knitted together, that's bringing all of it together to make a strong piece of cloth. And if we can knit these scriptures together, we'll be strengthened in the Lord. This morning I titled my sermon, What is So Amazing About Grace? And that's what we love to hear. We love to hear the doctrines of grace. But what is so amazing about it? You know, we sing about it, we talk about it, and all those things. But one point that I want to look at this evening is found over in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, seeing that of what is amazing about grace. You know, we love that hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a good man like me. Well, no. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The Apostle Paul also said, you know, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, the chiefest of sinners. And if the Apostle Paul felt like he was a chief sinner, we are too. And that's what we want to look at. But we see in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, where he's introducing these things, in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, we want to begin reading that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. So we know who he's talking to. He's talking to the church. And, you know, that's what I want my preaching to be, to edify the church. You know, our local bodies, and I know we've got churches represented from all the way to central Alabama to here in North Georgia. But I want to see our churches strengthened. And how that we can strengthen. And that's what the Apostle Paul that is telling here, that he, as an apostle of who? Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, to those born again children of God, baptized believers in the church at Ephesus, he says, to you, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you, and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And if I'm not mistaken, you go through this first chapter of the book of Ephesians, and you see, and I've got it marked in my Bible, there's about 9, 10, or 11 times where he says, in Christ, in Him, in whom, that all of this is being in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's bringing us into this because it's of grace. It's our unmerited favor given to undeserving people that we have this. We didn't deserve any of it. And how that we going to take this goodwill, this kindness, this love that God has shed abroad unto all the elect family through His Son Jesus Christ. He says here, he says in that first verse, in Christ. The third verse, he says, places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us, who? In Him. In Christ. That personal pronoun that we're in Him. And when did we get in Him? Before the foundation of the world. Too early for the soul winner. Too early for our parents or too early for anybody, but we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And how that we were chosen in Him. You know, I like to think of it in our country terms, He picked us. He picked us in Him. He knew what we were. He knew what we are. And He chose us in Christ that we, that little personal pronoun right there, we encapsulates all the elect family of God and doesn't leave any of them out. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us. See, that word predestinate and predestination, it trips so many people up in the religious world today. You know, they think, you know, some people think, well, God predestinated all things that's happened. He's talking about individuals. Amen. There's some things that God is in control of, and I think God predetermined that Jesus Christ was going to come and die for His people. And He knew the exact time that it was going to happen, and He knew those things. But He says, having predestinated us, there's that other, you know, we can look at we and we can look at us, and that's that same pronoun talking about all the elect family of God. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of what? Children. See, this predestination is talking about people, yes. Individuals, families, how that He took us out of that state of death in sin and brought us into the family of life in Christ. You know, one thing about adoption is when parents choose a child to be in their family, that child doesn't change. That child's still the same child, but he's taken from one state in condition and brought to another state in condition. He's brought from an orphanage or from foster parents, and he's brought into a family that is there to love him and take care of him and bring him up. And that's what the Lord did, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And it's one thing that, as many times as I've talked about adoption, one thing that I realized that adoption is very expensive. Because when you adopt somebody, first you got to choose who you're going to adopt.
That's right.
You know, and that's the thing that people in the religious world that don't like the doctrine of sovereign election and sovereign predestination of people, they think, well, God's just not fair to choose one and not choose another. Well, if you went to an orphanage, are you going to pick them all? No, you're going to settle on one or two. Now, You leaving all the rest of them, does that change them? No, they're still in the same place where they was at. But God in His mercy, He knew what Adam would do. And God in His mercy, He saved us. And He saved us how? By His grace. It was mercy the reason why He did it. Because you know what? He could have left us all in that state of sin. And we could all been doomed for an eternity in hell. But God was merciful that He chose a definite number into His family. And we see that adoption is expensive. How expensive is it? Well, it cost Jesus Christ His life. But if you do adoption today, you got to pay all the legal fees. If you go through a private adoption agency, you got to pay all their fees. And then you have a waiting period, and then you bring that child home. You've got to go through all of this layout to be approved and all this other stuff. Well, God the Father, with God the Son, through God the Holy Spirit, worked all of that out for us. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself.
That's right.
According to the good pleasure of His will. All of this is according to Him in Christ Jesus. To what? To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And there's another word that's been so misused among the religious worlds of this day about accepting. And how that you go through the Bible and you see that the acceptance of us being in Christ, who did the accepting? God accepted me in Him. And that's what I want us to think about, that personal Savior. We didn't accept Him in order to become a child of God, but He accepted us.
That's right.
In Christ. God accepted Randall. You know, I want to take it personally. I want you to make this what I said, that what's so amazing about grace that He chose you personally. When Christ was hanging on that cross, He knew your name. And He died for your sins. To the praise of the glory of His grace, His unmerited favor, wherein He hath made us, the elect family of God, accepted in what? In Him. When? Before the foundation of the world. We are accepted in the Beloved. We see in Christ, in Him. Now He says, in the Beloved. Who was the Beloved of God the Father? His Son, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And you were accepted in Him. You know, there's no other place that and I've looked several times, you know, about, you know, that term and how that people, and I even, you know, read something this week. You know, somebody asked the question whether their pets were going to be in heaven one day, and somebody said, well, they don't have a soul. And it was interesting to see the conversation. But then somebody come on there and says, well, they can't go to heaven because they don't have the ability to accept Christ and be baptized and do all these good works. And I'm thinking, well, you know, some of those other ones that was far off, I could agree with them a little more, and I'm thinking, how far off people are to think that it's of their works that they get into heaven. That they think that they have to accept the Beloved to get into heaven, but it's the Beloved that accepted us.
Amen.
And that's why we have that. You know, another thought that I talked about this morning And it's going back and forth from Tuesday night to Sunday morning. You know, in the last verse of Romans chapter number 6, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, and that's that other question that comes along. Well, we're all working to get to the same place.
That's right.
Well, you know, that's what he says right there. For the wages of sin is what? Death. We're working to get there. And I'm looking at people, we're getting closer to it. You know, we work for a paycheck. And when you get that paycheck, that's for the wages. That's the wages that you got for the work that you did the time before. And you were there, you showed up, you're supposed to work, but you worked and you get the paycheck. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift. And then another misinterpretation of that, well, the Lord will give it to you if you just accept it. Well, no. We didn't have the ability to accept it. We were chosen, and if we had time, and we're going to have to go into Ephesians chapter number 2, talking about being quickened and born again by His Spirit. And that's how that He accepted us in Him when He took a dead sinner and made them alive in Christ. He placed that life in you. And that's why we see through these verses, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom, in Christ Jesus, we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. How? According to the riches of His grace. I mean, He's wrapped it all up that it's in Christ we have redemption. When did that happen? When He died on the cross. When He said, "It is finished." He accomplished salvation. Salvation was done. So we have redemption through His blood. And the results of that, the forgiveness of sins. And it's all because of according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. There's no room in here for the sinner except God bringing us into His family, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom, again, also we have obtained an inheritance. Do you do anything to get an inheritance? You know, me and my brother Stanley and two other brothers, we inherited a little bit when Daddy died. And the only reason we inherited it, well, we was born into His family. And then He wrote us into His will. But we couldn't take that until He died. And that's what we see in inheritance. We didn't do anything to become the heirs of Raymond Cagle. But we were born into His family. Did we have anything to do with the birth? Absolutely not. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but this has been so much on my mind to see these things again, to remind us of these good pleasures of His will. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, that He wrote us into His will when? Before the foundation of the world. And Christ purchased that when He died. And then we were born into the family by Holy Spirit God. Do you see the triune God in all of this? That God the Father chose us, Jesus Christ died for us, and Holy Spirit God regenerated us. But obtained an inheritance, again, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, that word predestination, again, trips so many people up. You know, all it's telling us that He predetermined our destination. You know, let's use that acronym again that I love to use. That's KISS. Keep it simple, saints. He predestinated our eternal inheritance.
Yes.
And He has a place for us. And when we breathe out our last breath, we're going to be there in the presence of God, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of these our bodies, that He's coming back one day. And He's going to come back with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and all that are in the grave shall rise first. And when He rises first, then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.
Amen.